Today's date is January 16th, 2020. People sitting around this table today is Otto Lyons, Kathy Prescott, and Joyce Johnston representing the Polk County Historical Commission. And we're sitting with Angela Criswell Figgs. And she's gonna share some of her life experiences with us and talk about moving from Dunbar into Livingston High School when she was in junior high. But first, we're going to get to know her a little bit better. Angela?
Yes, I'm Angela Figgs. I'm a lifelong resident of Polk County, per se. I started school, my parents were Oliver and Mazeline Criswell. My father was one of the first black businessmen in Polk County. He had his first community grocery store in the early 1960s. He had his own logging business. My mother was a graduate of Dunbar High School. She was valedictorian of her class. And she was the bookkeeper. She was the brain behind the businesses. She kept up with the business for my father. They had that grocery store on Grant Street here in Livingston, where the jail has bought those properties now. Where the county has bought those properties, that's where the first grocery store was located. And it was open until, I guess, the early 70s. He moved the grocery store from the Livingston area to 3 miles north in the Marston community. And when he moved the business up there, he had the grocery store, he had a little chain of motels, he had a pool room, a feed store. And he rented those motel rooms to the men that came in from different areas that worked for him. My mother prepared meals for those men. So basically, what he put out, he bought back in. So in the early 70s, after he had the grocery store there, he closed the grocery store and he opened up the first private club. And when he opened that private club, he named that club 69 on Highway 59. And he told us, when he opened that club, he told us, he said, I may never be here to see this. He said, but there's gonna be an interstate that's gonna come through here. At that time, 59 was just 2 lanes. He said, but there's gonna be an interstate that's gonna come through here, and it's gonna be 69. So he already had this vision. And like I say, he did his business. You couldn't beat him out of his money when he logged. He knew what he had, footage or whatever. I don't know a lot about logging. I can remember him being a hard worker. He just shy away from nothing, because even as a little girl, when he'd come in and his shoulders would be blistered open and he'd have us rubbing them and checking him for ticks and things. I didn't understand then, but you know, before his business grew and he had skidders and he had loaders, those men bought those logs out on their shoulders.
Oh, Lordy.
They loaded those trucks, they bought those logs out those woods on their shoulders. And of course, now when I think about all those things, you know, my heart hurt, because we don't understand the sacrifice that was made. You know, we just don't. You couldn't see the seeds that were being sown on our behalf. And that's what it was. You know, so that man that we thought that didn't know anything, and of course a lot of kids are like that today, they think the parents don't know nothing. But you know, for us coming up, the thought, he don't know nothing. He's not educated. As I said, he could have had his doctor's degree because of common sense. He learned from people within the Swilly. Mr. Swilly taught him how to cut meat. So he learned how to cut his own meat. You know, we came up where in the country, 3 miles out was considered the country. So before there was ever running water, indoor plumbing, we had a well. We had our house. And a lot of people would think, oh, but you know, I feel like we worked hard, because as I said, it was 8 girls. I come from a family of 11. 8 girls and 3 boys. So the girls did what the boys did. You know, he had hogs. We had cows. We had horses. He had a pond where we fished. My mother garden. We had chickens. Mm-hmm. So we had to be a part of everything that was going on. Even as little girls, when he butchered his own meat, when you was big enough to stand at a table, we were taught how to wrap that meat to put in the freezer. So we learned how to do those things. And I think now, and I often say now, it doesn't matter what come or how hard things get. I believe I could survive. We could survive because of where we came from. I think we could survive. But, you know, and when I look, like I say, I'm so grateful because I think people were better people then. Everybody shared. You know, we were taught that you respect your elders. It didn't matter who they were, what color they were. If we were caught saying yes and no to adults, that was an offense. You got reprimanded for that. You just didn't do that. You always told us you speak to people, whether they speak to you or not. It's on them. If they don't speak to you, you've done your part. You speak to people. You greet people. But you know, and even through high school, I never had, even after integration, we went to the white school. Some of my best friends are some of those friends that I made to this day at that school. And you know, we still communicate. We still have those relationships. No, it wasn't always easy. The transition wasn't always easy because it's just like a marriage. You're putting people in a pot, and there has been the segregation, and you're putting them in a pot, and you're saying, get along, you mix. Mm-hmm. And that's work. You work at it. Relationships are something you work at.
True. Okay, let me ask you. So you started to school and went to kindergarten, first grade?
First grade through, I think it was fifth or sixth grade.
At Dunbar.
When they forced integration,
At Dunbar.
Mm-hmm. I went to elementary at Dunbar, and then, like I said, we came to...
Okay, how large was your class?
Oh, when we graduated, I don't think we had one of the largest classes, but I cannot remember.
That was the integrated class.
Yes,
Top of your head, you don't remember?
Okay. No, I don't.
Okay, I was just trying to get a feel for how many students came from Dunbar
at that time,
to Livingston.
I'm not for certain, and I don't want to try to elaborate on it.
I understand. But I do understand that, like in 1965, people could choose to come
if
they wanted to. They had the choice. And then in 60, are we right, Otto?
Right.
And then 68, it was
closed. It was forced integration.
Integration.
Mm-hmm.
So did that happen at the beginning of the school year? That you came in September? And went to the Livingston High School?
I think it was probably at the beginning of the school year, because I don't think we hadn't already started.
It was at the beginning of the school year.
It would be difficult if it was. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay. So tell us, when you were still at Dunbar, what was some of your fun activities that you did there? Ms. Darden told us today that she played basketball. Did you play basketball?
No, we didn't play basketball because I was too young then.
Okay. That's fine.
I was too young. We didn't have a basketball team for us at that time.
Okay.
I was younger.
Okay.
So we did not, but...
Okay.
So, but we did. It was just, it was the environment, and I guess it was like everything else. Everybody was your mama because, you know, we really didn't get into anything. I'm not one of those people that's one of those, you don't have to convince me a lot. But we didn't get into anything because even before they had phones, if we did anything, our mom and dad knew it before we got home.
Oh, I know.
They already knew that we had did this and did that, but somebody had already told it. So, you know, but it was the teachers and the structure was just different. It was the beginning. The difference I see now and then is, you know, you had to learn to think. It didn't matter if it was basic math or whatever. You had to be able to show you knew how you got that answer. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Even if you had to draw stick figures or whatever, you had to be able to show. The teachers wanted you to be sure you understood how you arrived at that answer. And, you know, show your work on it. And of course, it was still that way when they integrated schools, because basically you weren't allowed to use calculators. And I call the typewriters we had for business, those old dinosaurs, when you had to just really beat the keys, you know, they stick and you just had to really beat them. But I consider those times, to me, those were good times. Those were better times. We had, even with everything going on, you still did not see the violence, the things you see in the schools now. You know, it was just, we were still in a better place, I consider.
So when you graduated from Livingston and you went to college, where did you go?
Prairie View A&M University.
Okay. One of those alumni.
Prairie View A&M University. Okay. And I learned some things there, you know. Like I say, because coming up, you were not allowed to speak up. Mm-hmm. And I think when I went to college, I found my voice, because you was always told, you know, do as I say, not as I do. So children, as young people, you really did not learn how to speak up for yourself without being seen as rebellious or whatever. So, and that's when I learned how to speak up and express myself. And, you know, and that was in all the things that, you know, mom and dad, just the little words of encouragement, the things that they said to me, those pockets of blessing that I did not see then. Those are the things that has carried me and helped me to be where I am, because I realize it's not about me. It's not about college. It's not about those things, because we're still thriving and we're still growing. We're living on blessings that were set up long before we got to this place. It's because of the things my mom and my dad did before we became adults. You know, there were just so many things that you don't see that's in place. And, you know, and he used to always tell me, a good name is rather to be chosen. And the Bible tell you, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But he tell us, he said, you know, your name is going to go further than you'll ever go. So always guard your name. And people don't realize that.
Well, let me ask you, when you were growing up and your family went into town in Livingston, did you go like on Saturdays into town?
Generally, we went on Saturdays, and you had to dress. We could not. We did not go out. You didn't come out. If you was coming to town, you had to put on clothes. You didn't come out in shorts and... Girls didn't come out in shorts. As a matter of fact, we girls weren't allowed to wear shorts and little tank tops and stuff around our brothers and our father, even when we was home. If we had them on and our dad or brothers come home, you had to put on some clothes. You had to cover yourself. So you had to dress to come to town. And basically, when we came to town, it was only to get, you know, basics. Because my parents raised all the meats. And my mother gardened, so it was like, you know, for staples, flowers and sugars and that type of thing.
Were there any, those stores you went into that were, like, fun? I mean...
Oh, I worked. My first job was at J.B. White's department store downtown Livingston back in 74. I had all my credits to graduate, but, you know, they wouldn't let you graduate early. So... But you could go to work. The only way you could not go to school full time is if you had a job. And you could go to school half a day and work a half a day. So I slipped and got me a job at J.B. White's department store. I quit sports and I got me a job because I wanted to work. Because even though our parents were business people, you know, they didn't hand you money. So there were things I wanted to do. Sure. And I knew if I wanted to do those things, coming up for my senior year that I wanted to do. And I knew in order to do those things, I wanted to have my own money. So, and I got that job, but the only way I could get that job, the only reason my dad allowed us to work, us girls, because I guess in the day they thought we'd get married and some man would take care of us, but that wasn't in my line of duty either. I wasn't looking for that either, because I couldn't hand that control and handing the money. So, but I got my job, and my father he'd make me so angry some days. I'd have to go to work, and he'd be driving, and of course he'd get tickets for impeding traffic, because he'd be just tipping
And, you know, and he stopped and talked to everybody, and he wouldn't get me to my job on time. And the only reason I had that job was because Mr. Woods, Gerald Woods, knew him. And, but he did allow me to work during that time. And even during the time, if I didn't go to summer school, Mr. Woods would hold me a job, and I'd come in and I'd go to work during the summer. So, like I say, you know, I have so many. I remember when it was still segregation downtown. We had the White Kitchen and Boots Restaurant. I believe it was Boots that's right there on the corner. And, it was another one. Livingston Drug was across the street. National Bank was where the tax office used to be. Great. Perry Brothers was over there where...
Well, there are a lot of offices there.
Yes, yes, those places.
Right.
Uh-huh. And during school, it was just a lot of things. You know, I was one of the first blacks to run for Miss Polk County. And that's when Kenny Hosberry was emceeing it. So, she turned it up. She don't know. Yes, that's when Kenny Hosberry was emceeing it. So, it was just a lot of firsts. But, you know, I didn't have a lot of problems. Like I say, everybody didn't love everybody. Everybody didn't love me, but still found that
common ground.
Yes,
somewhere. Yes.
And we learned how to do what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm. So you graduated in
75, honey.
Yeah, that was wild.
And I'm grateful, but I'm grateful for my start. I'm grateful from where, when I look back, I am so grateful for everything because I can see when I look back over my life, I can see now that, you know, God was orchestrating. I thought I was running the ship, but, you know, he was orchestrating it.
Yeah. So you told us before we turned the recorder on that your degree is...
It was fashion design with a minor in business. So, and that, what do you think I would do with that in Polk County?
Well, I was going to ask you that.
Well, see, I didn't plan to come to Polk County. I didn't plan to be back here, but when I met my husband, when we married.
Where did you meet him?
At Prairie View. I did not know him. He was from 12 miles up the road. I did not know him.
And that would be Seven Oaks? Is that where he was?
They were living in Leggett, because he graduated Leggett. His mother taught at Leggett, so okay. He graduated Leggett. So when he graduated, he worked at Champion during the time. When we would come home, if we came home summers, he worked at Champion. So Champion offered him a management position. That's how we ended up back in Polk County. So Angela had to revamp herself because there was nothing for me to do with fashion design here other than work at a department store, which
correct.
I did J.B. White's part-time. And then I decided to apply with Community Action, which is a social service agency housed under Housing and Community Affairs out of Austin. And at that time, they covered 6 counties. Well, now the agency covered 21 counties in East Texas area. And of course, so I applied and was hired by them. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, they offered a various training and stuff for the work. And as I said, I worked there for 33 and a half years because I just retired there in September the 13th, as a matter of fact.
Congratulations.
Of 2019. And I would have still been working there, probably still working. And I'm not giving up because I just says that, you know, maybe this is God is going to take me, he's trying to take me another direction, and I'm waiting to figure out what that's going to be, because I'm not going to just sit. I do still stay active with things in the county, and I intend to continue to stay active with those things, stay involved, because I think it's important to give back, because, you know, coming up, we was raised in that 3 miles north of town. That's all we knew.
Called Marston.
And, of course, after I started working for Community Action, I covered all of Polk County. So I went some places that I just didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what I don't know what Community Action is. What is...
It's a social service agency, and basically it's state and federal funded. And we apply housing and community affairs. they apply for grant monies from the state and federal government. Okay. And basically, each county is allocated monies based on population. They base it on a lot of things, population, unemployment rate. So, and then those monies were administered through community action, but I was the person, the worker for Polk County, the case manager, the worker for this county, in charge of distributing, make sure those funds was distributed and the people that qualified received the service. So
it's a great service for the county.
It is. And it's a very needed service. And as I said, I did that for the last 33 and a half years. Loved it. I love the people that I see. Everybody's not pleasant. Everybody, but you know, I learned through that not to be judgmental. Not to judge, because living here, you think you know a lot of things about a lot of people. But I learned to put those things behind me and do what I needed to do, whatever those requirements were, and not judge those people, because I was not in their shoes. I had not been in their shoes. We look often at people and we try to decide who they are, where they are, but we really don't know.
Well, sitting here today and looking back, is there something that is no longer in Polk County, or some that you wish was still here? Is there something that you miss from your youth that you wish was still in this county?
I don't know. You know, there's really nothing for our young people. We used to have the thing theater years ago. And, you know, it'd be nice to have something for our youth to engage them, places they could go. That, you know, that would not be put them in situations. Because I think, you know, it's so important they learn how to handle themselves before they go to these larger areas. Right. And then all of this stuff is introduced to them. I don't know. I just can't think of anything other than, you know, something for the youth. Because now there's way technology's good. But I think most of our youth are handed these things way too soon. And they're just, and that is the problem. Nobody is parenting and nobody is taking that extra step, that time, to help move them through. And as parents, that's our duty, you know, is their earthly journey, is to help them with this earthly journey and learn how to live here, how to manage here. And I think, you know, the ball has just been dropped in so many areas. There's no respect, you know, working in social work, there's so little respect. I have families come in and, you know, I see the disrespect that these children have for their parents. And I thought, man, my mom and dad would have took my head off. While we was trying to think about what we was going to say, they'd be done slapped our heads one side. There's no respect. And people don't have a regard for anything now. Everybody is self-made. Everybody is where they are because they're just so great. And they have all answers. They got it all together. And I think that's a problem.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with us? We're almost at a 30-minute mark, and that's sort of what I like to keep it to. I've enjoyed your story here. You didn't tell us about your children. Do you and Figs have children?
I'm sorry. Yes, we do. My oldest child died as an infant. She would have been 40. We got a son that's 37 and our daughter is 27. That's a long story too. So yes, and it's just been a blessing. Like I say, it's been a journey, but it's been a blessing.
And they went to Livingston High School.
My daughter graduated from Livingston High School. My son graduated from Leggett. My daughter lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and our son lives here.
You didn't try to top your parents when they had their 11. You weren't going to go for that large number of children.
Huh? No, ma'am, I did not. I did not listen. I remember little kids. Like I say, when we had the sleep share beds, and I thought, oh, I don't want them touching me. Oh, don't put your feet on me. Don't put your hands on me. But, you know, I'm grateful they had all of us.
Oh, sure.
I couldn't have did it. And I ain't gonna tell nobody I could. I won't let them cats and dogs. So, I mean, I love them, but I was not going to have 11 babies.
That's and something you could control.
I was not having 11 babies, and I told my husband we was playing American ball. Three strikes, he was out. Because with nobody else, I wasn't having no more babies with nobody else. And we were, and that was going to be it. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful because my children have truly been a blessing. They've kept my feet grounded. And when my daughter graduated from high school, college, I was thinking about this. I found this thing that says, God has given us wings to show us what we can become. Roots to remind us of where we're from. That is a true sentiment. That is a true sentiment. He gives us wings to show us what we can become. Mm-hmm. And roots to remind us of who we are from, where we are from. And, you know, I'm just grateful because my roots keep me grounded. They keep me, it's important to me. Mm-hmm. And it's important even with my parents gone. My mother's be gone 5 years, February 27th. My dad will be gone 13 years, July the 3rd. And it's important to me that the works they started, that we don't tarnish that.
That's exactly why history and knowing our history is so important. And yes. I think it's a great sentiment for us to end this interview on. But really appreciate you and sharing this time with us.